We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In my mind, I'm
All right, welcome back here. We're live in Charlotte for the ACC football kickoff, Capital One Orange Bowl Media Tour, presented by Duffy's Sports Grill. Always great place to watch a game, grab a burger, and enjoy yourself. Want to thank them, obviously, for being our sponsor, allowing us to come up here. And it's always a pleasure to have the head football coach at the University of Miami, Manny Diaz, with us here this morning. Manny? First time we've seen each other, man. This is crazy.
It is good to be in person. It's good to be right across the table from you. This is pretty cool.
You know, we were just talking about how crazy last year was for everybody, for you trying to figure out who's going to play. I know having you on the radio show every week, right down there to the wire, do we have enough guys? And I think people, we almost forgot about that, of how many guys. You guys kept it secret for the most part. You didn't want to expose players. What was that like going through that from week to week, especially with guys you're really counting on?
There was just so much uncertainty. You know, we didn't know. I mean, this time last year, we didn't even know we were playing. The day I'll never forget, it was an evening practice. We were in August, and we went on the field, and that was the night that the Big 12 was having the vote. You know, I think President Frank had kind of convinced the ACC to co-play. The SEC was going to play, but if the Big 12 didn't join us, really the whole thing would have fallen apart. We were out there practicing. It was just surreal. You could tell the kids – it was on their mind because, you know, it was day eight of maybe training camp, and are we really going to – is this going to happen? And we came off the field, and Blake James came out there and kind of gave the thumbs-up signal, and once the Big 12 was in, we knew we had a season. And so
– wow.
Yeah, it's – and, you know, then we went on and played, and those days are forgotten. But coming back here and being a part of, you know, the season kind of getting ready to ramp up again, all those memories kind of flood back.
Manny, 19 of 22 starters back from last year. Basically a tight end and two really, really good pass rush. All three of them are really good football players, obviously. But to have all these guys back, plus all the guys with so much experience and all the guys after Eric King decided to come back, a lot of guys follow, including some of the guys we're going to be talking to today. You got to feel pretty good from the experience side of what you have coming back.
I do. We have the oldest team we've had since I've been at Miami as the head coach or defensive coordinator. And not just in terms of what that means on game day, but I think what that has meant during the offseason and the way that our guys prepared, the way that our guys have worked, setting the tone in the weight room and in the summer program with David Feely. I think all of that matters. Now, I will say this, all around college football, everybody's very experienced. So I don't know that we stick out all that differently from anybody else, but for Miami and where we've been, to have these guys come back and set that type of leadership that maybe we've been lacking in past years is really big for our program.
Man, I don't know if I ever asked you, after you made the decision you're going to get back on the defensive side of the ball, when did you make that decision that I've got to do this?
It was shortly after the bowl game. You know, I mean, I think what I like to do is sort of let the season play out in its totality and then sort of take a week and really analyze where we've been, you know, take a look at all the numbers, what, you know, watch the film, and it just – you know, look, I always say, since I've been here in 2016, you know, we've got a lot of pride in the way that we play defense. And ultimately, the ultimate accountability for how we play defense, it had to rest at my feet. And that's why I felt like it wasn't a matter of, you know, I'm going to call better plays or anything like that. It was just a matter of that the players had to understand the accountability on defense had to come all the way to the head coach's door. And it's been a pleasure for me. I really enjoy doing it. And I think the players are enjoying it, you know, and that's really what it was about.
You saw the reaction, right? But the guy's like, ah. Coach is back. There is a comfort level because they've had success not too long ago with you as a defensive coordinator. So that all obviously all came into play, knowing a lot of those guys have been around, wanted you back calling things.
That's right. But our success is going to be because of them and not because of me. And I mean that. I mean, it's, you know, and that's my job. My job is to hold them in account and to make a defense, make a, you know, 11 guys play as one organism, to play as one unit. And then when that happens, then they have the great success. And ultimately, as a coach, that's really what you want to see.
Your defense, for a second here, I mentioned you lost some really good pass rushers. You concerned with that? I know you pick up a guy in the transfer portal. Do you have those guys that need that, that can put pressure and take care of the edge for you against the run?
Well, that'll be a big point. We'll find out in training camp. You know, I mean, obviously, we never really felt like we had a in-shape DeAndre Johnson going through spring practice. So he's you know, he's had a phenomenal offseason, you know, and with David Feely over the summer, getting into great shape. We think he's got some great ability. And then the development of a guy like Jafari Harvey is really exciting, you know, the leadership that Zach McCloud provides at that spot. And, you know, when I think back to, you know, maybe our defenses in 17, even 18, you know, our strength was being able to come at people in numbers, you know, and the relentless energy. Pass rush is the hardest thing physically to do on the field. Nothing empties a tank like rushing the passer. And we had to rely a lot on Jalen and Quincy a year ago because of not having Greg and some other guys being young. I think we've got more guys now that we can run at you with four deep at defensive end, four deep at defensive tackle, keep guys fresh and stay after the quarterback.
Coach, is there a speaking of that, you know, kind of this ensemble cast, but is there a guy on defense that needs to be elite that would make everybody's job a lot easier?
Well, I think that's part of the reason why Bubba Bolden is here, you know, and hopefully we'll get a chance to speak with him today. Bubba is very talented, first of all, but he's very intelligent. You know, I had a chance to work with him. You know, we had a very – people forget, last couple of games of the year, we hardly had a defensive staff because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And I ended up coaching the safeties for a couple of weeks and really got a chance to interact with Bubba and really saw how his mind works. He's a very intelligent player, and communication in the back end is so important. And having that guy that can really not just make his position go, but to make the people around him better. So I think that'll be really important for our secondary. We do have a lot of experience back there. And then you want to see the guys up front, you know, and it starts with the defensive tackle position. You know, the guys like John Ford and Nesta Silvera and, you know, Jordan Miller, Jared Harrison Hunt. I mean, that's the Miami 4-3 always starts with that defensive tackle play. And I think that's a, you know, I know people like to speak about our linebacker play a year ago, but I think our defensive tackle play has got to make as big of a jump as anybody. And that's because if you're going to stop the run, it's got to start with those two guys.
Mm-hmm. Manny, what do you expect out of this class that's coming in? Some of them are already had spring football. A lot of them haven't. What including, by the way, two of your top five-star guys.
Yeah.
How quickly can you fit them in? What do you expect from this recruiting class?
I'm excited to see the guys we did not have in spring. I'm excited to see them, you know, on Green Tree, you know, here in a couple weeks' time. You know, what you want to see is you want to see them compete. You want to see how can they it's usually the speed of the game and not necessarily the actual football side of it. It's the mental side of it, you know, just in terms of understanding schematically what the call is. And then you have to understand going against Rhett Lashley's offense every day in practice, it is, you know, the tempo is relentless. So if you think you know what to do, you're going to get exposed. You have to know you know what to do on every play. So, you know, just see if those guys can get in there. And like we always say, you know, the admission to the club on defense, it always starts with the same thing. Run the ball as hard as you can and knock the hell out of whoever has it when you get there. You know what I mean? And if they can show those two things, us as coaches, we can kind of dial in the rest.
I was talking to you last night a little bit. We were talking about we treat University of Miami football like a major league sport. We do. From you coaching to 18, 19, 20-year-old drops a ball, misses a tackle, gets burned, gets beat on a pass rush. I always wonder, how do guys accept that? They know when they come to the U that, hey, listen, man, it's not high school anymore. Where you make a mistake at Palmetto High School, nobody really knows except mom and dad. It's a different.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you got to be tough to play it. I respect the hell out of our kids. You got to be tough to be a Miami Hurricane. It's a jersey that comes with a lot of expectation, and that's okay. You kind of want guys. I'll be very honest with you. We have felt guys in recruiting that, you know, there was a guy in this year's cycle that I don't know that he really wanted, you know, as the kids say nowadays, on it all the smoke that comes with being a Miami Hurricane, because it's not for everybody. I mean, it is. You are going to be watched, and it's going to be. You know, you're going to be held to a very high standard. Now, that being said, our job as coaches is still to develop the guys, and there is a role for everybody. And I think sometimes it's hard because if a guy doesn't make a good play, it's easy to say, hey, let's just throw this guy in the trash can. Well,
That's what we do on radio.
But,
you're right.
But in this era, and it's so important now, especially with the one-time transfer deal, you know, I always say, like, use a basketball analogy. You know, someone's got to box out. Someone's got to set a pick. Right, not everybody can take the shot at the last minute. And if you don't have a team with a guy that's willing to do the dirty work, set the pick, you know, be a role player, now it's hard because they all come wanting to be the star. And sometimes some guys are able to handle that adjustment and be the star. Some guys, you know what, they've got to understand, hey, listen, you got to be able to play this role, dominate your role, and that will help us win.
I was just asked from another radio station about De'Ara King. And I said he does embrace the thing that sets him apart, I think, from other guys that have played that position here, is he has embraced the challenges or the toughness that come with playing quarterback at the University of Miami. He's going to be judged like Dan Marino or Tua or whoever. He's going to be judged like a pro. He is here. He's going to be asked. You know the question he's going to be asked. What's his answer going to be? Is he ready? He looks pretty good. Looks pretty chiseled to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, Derek, he's had a phenomenal summer, and they're doing everything right. The medical people still are very optimistic, you know, about him being ready for camp. And but you're right. We can all see Derek's talent on the field, but his ability to handle the expectation of that program and that position and how that's helped Tyler Van Dyke, Jake Garcia. Now they have a model so that when Derek leaves, Derek didn't just make us better from when he was here. He makes us better in years to come because those guys now can train the quarterbacks to come. This is how it's done at the U.
Yeah, I want to ask you, Pope and Wiggins were hot topics last year. Drop balls. You go to the bowl game, they have some crucial drops in the game. And, you know, you were just talking about wanting to throw guys out, and yet they're obviously talented guys. I mean, they were recruited by a lot of schools, not just Miami. How do you treat them coming back in and a fan base that's like, no, we've had enough. We want to get those, you know, get those young guys, anybody else. How do you treat that as a coach, and what do you tell those guys?
Okay, so what you tell them, you say, all right, let's look at – let's pull the lens back. Let's look at your career. Let's look at what you did as a freshman. Let's look at what you did your second year. And let's look at what you did your third year. Now, there's going to be some things that were really, really good and things that they – to use those two guys as an example – that they really improved on from year two to year three. And if you look at their production numbers, it absolutely went up. But there's certainly some things in their game that they definitely want to try to fix. Look, we're coaches. We're in the fix-it business. We're in the get-better business. And it almost sounds cliche, but hell, it's true. So our job is to pour into those guys to try to make them the best players that they can be. Now, however, you also have to create competition at practice, right, which is what we did. That's why we brought in Charleston Rambo, right? That's why you recruit this great class. And ultimately, these guys get after each other every day on Green Tree practice field. And my confidence to know that a mistake I made a year ago, I may not make this year. Where does that come from? That comes from what I do every day, day in, day out at Green Tree. So what we do is we go to training camp. I'm really excited about the competition that we have. You go run it through, and then what I was mentioning, then you go set the roles. And I'll use a baseball analogy. Some guy's going to bat fourth. Some guy's going to bat eighth. But let me tell you something. When the guy's up that's batting eighth, hell, you need that guy to get on base.
Right.
And you just can't have it. It's not fantasy football where you just take all these guys out and put these other guys in. Going through the course of a year, you got to find a role for everybody. And we want our players to maximize their ability as much as possible so they can win their role.
All right, let's get to the other stuff, the NIL. Been a hot topic. Great for radio, by the way. what are your thoughts early on how this thing has gone for the U, and where do you expect it? Do you like what you've seen so far? How do you feel about it?
Well, I'm very encouraged by some of the, you know, again, it's out of our control as a university or as a program, but you know, what I had hoped would happen is that the community would step up and really, you know, make the experience of being a Miami Hurricane the best experience of anywhere in college football, and use the advantage we have of the great economy we have down in South Florida to allow our guys to have an experience that you can't have in some of these other towns where they have good college football teams. So by all accounts, I think from our player standpoint, I think they're pleased. I think you can see it from a recruiting standpoint that, listen, you know, the people of Miami are going to take care of the Miami Hurricanes. And I think if we can establish that, and we've got some great people that are seems like they're working towards that, that can't help but benefit our program.
Vaccination numbers. Are you happy with where they are? Can they get better? I know you guys don't talk much about them, but for you, are you happy?
Our players, it's been a slow, steady process. It's obviously a delicate topic, and you got to – I mean, you got to just give them the information and give them the facts as good as you possibly can. We've had, you know, doctors, medical experts come and speak to the team. And, you know, and again, I got to credit our leadership. I think some of our leadership went early on, got vaccinated, and, you know, they were fine. And I think the more players saw that and more guys got it, you know, and you know, if things go the way we want to, I think we're going to be really happy with where we are numbers-wise when we start training camp.
Manny, it's always great being with you, man. I really appreciate you finding some time here while we're live on the air to come on this morning. Thank you so much. Good luck, and we'll be talking soon with you, man.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Can't wait for those Monday mornings. It's almost here.
Yeah. Well, listen, let's have some good ones, man. I always like when they're fun. There's no question about it. That's Manny Diaz, University of Miami head football coach. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In my mind, I'm gone.
Are you going to show these guys how you sing?
No, man, it's James Taylor. These guys are like James Taylor. They don't even know who James Taylor is. I could sing it, but.
We are in the NIL era, so let me give them a lesson here. A lot of it's about sponsorships. So you treat your sponsors well, and here we go. Our show is brought to you by Capital One Orange Bowl Media Tour, presented by Duffy's Sports Grill.
Sounds good. Huh? Not bad at all.
Yeah.
By the way, Bubba Bolden joins us, and Mike Harley, as they're up here, as with us here in Charlotte for the ACC football kickoff. That's always fun here, because you know right after this, it's time to ride around the corner to get busy. Hey, both you guys decided to come back.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Just talk about the decision, if you would. Like, seemed like Derrick King quickly said, hey, guys, I'm coming back. Did you guys all get together and talk about it? Guys both probably going to get drafted last year.
Yeah, I mean, we all came together and talked about it, and we all felt it was the best decision for us, you know, for this program, for us as individuals. And, you know, Coach Diaz has a very good thing going on here at this university, so we felt like coming back another year would definitely just help us and not hurt us in no type of way. So that's what we did, and we came back, and we've been grinding it out.
Yeah, because guys like yourself and some other guys decide to come back, this team's got a lot of experience. I don't remember a UM team having this much experience, where you guys have had so many guys play so much football. How can that help you as you get set to play against Alabama?
Just, you know, guys that been in college, you know, more than 2-3 years, you know, they've been through the ups and downs, adversity, so we know how to handle, you know, anything coming into a game. You know, if we face adversity first quarter, you know, if we're down or if we up, you know what I'm saying, just stay home and just, like, keep playing, stay level-headed, and just we've been teaching the young guys this all offseason, you know, so.
Mike, I got to ask you, of course, Mike Harley went to St. Thomas Aquinas, and Bubba, you went to Gorman, both powerhouses, two of the top schools in the country for high school. You really got things turned around, man. There for a while, and then what happened? One day you, like, woke up, and it was like you become one of the top receivers. What changed? I'm always curious that you took your game as a wide receiver to the next level.
Honestly, I was taking it for granted. You know, I was just there. Yeah, I'm starting receiver at University of Miami. I wasn't putting the extra in. And it happened before Clemson game. I was in the hotel room by myself. You know, I was having a conversation with God. And, you know, our prayers be quick, but it really was like a 10-20-minute conversation. And I was just talking. I just felt a cold wind chill just breeze through the room. And I just felt like he was there with me listening. So, you know, after the Clemson game, the results happened. And come to practice Sunday, and I was just locked and loaded, standing at the practice, catching 100 jugs. Man, just working hard. I'm talking about finishing every rep to the end zone, just coming back, and I was just pushing myself to the extra limit. And I just knew, like, I just had to turn around.
Been a great story. I mean, what you did and the clutch catches and everything. And Bubba, for you, after having such a good season, I think a lot of people thought he's done, all right. He's been through this whole thing. He wants to get paid. I was a little surprised that you did decide to come back, and as you know, with everything, what was the final thing that you just feel like there was still work to be done? You could get better. What was your thought?
So I mean, a lot of people don't know, but last year was my first full season playing football.
Wow, I did not know that.
As a starting safety, you know, and I didn't start the whole season. You know, there was certain games that I started, but last year was my first full season playing at my position. You know, the year before that I broke my leg, and the year before that I wasn't playing. The year before that I was a special teams guy at USC. So I felt like, you know, going off 1 year and not being fully consistent, you know, I felt like another year would definitely do me justice. And coming back, and I'm never satisfied with being in second place, third place. I want to be a first-round guy, and I felt like coming back was the only way I would be able to do that and accomplish my goals, you know. So I had plenty of talks with Coach Diaz, my family, and we just felt it was best for me to come back. And I did it, and I took advantage of this. And, you know, I'm getting my body right, my mind right, and I'm ready to go in a couple weeks for fall camp.
You guys ever look around on offense and defense and go, I mean, you guys are all recruited by a lot of schools.
Yeah.
It's four and five, a lot of you, four and five star, three star, four. Yeah. But guys that have been top recruits, so you look around and go, you know what? There's no reason we can't, with everybody coming back, for the most part, mm-hmm. most starters, we can't be really good. Is that the thought from coming off the 8-3 season? You know, it was disappointing at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, we knew that. We knew that last year with the guys we had, that we could be a good team. And just having everyone come back and not really losing a step, you know, we lost a couple of guys in certain positions, but I feel like we got some guys that can step up and fill those places. So we just have a mindset. Our mindset is so different this year.
Yep.
You know, me and Mike go against each other every day. Yep. But he's the only person I go against because I know he's going to get me better. I know he know I'm going to get him better. And it's just the competition is so there. In every spot, no one feels safe. Mm-hmm. Even as a guy like me, I don't feel safe in my spot.
Exactly.
That's just how our mindset is, and I feel like that's what's pushing us to be a great team.
My mindset is like, why not us?
You know. Yeah.
Why not us? Don't count us out yet. You know what I'm saying? It's just preseason, so you see all the rankings, and that don't mean anything, man. We're working.
Yeah.
And like as he said, I don't feel safe at all because, you know, I have young guys like Xavier Schreppel and just younger guys just like working hard just as me. So. And the young freshman guys watching me work. So it's like, I got to go extra harder because my spot can get took, you know. So,
fellas, we got about 6 weeks until Alabama.
Yeah.
Are you guys thinking about what that might be like when you take the field? Mercedes-Benz Stadium, 75,000 fans. Mm-hmm. You're wearing the orange and white. You look across the field. You're going against the defending champs. And maybe you know something about Bryce Taylor as well.
Yeah, I mean, I know some guys over there, but our mindset right now is on the now, you know.
Yep.
We're so stuck in the moment right now, stuck on getting better every day, getting our team together, you know, building a bond and a chemistry between our team. So, you know, we focus on the now, and when that time comes, we'll focus on Alabama.
Yep,
but right
focus
now
on the now,
yeah.
Just, you know, pumping iron, you know, doing a little things right, going to class. Cleaning up the locker rooms and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Just
little things take us very far, you know?
Just coming.
It all adds up.
Not coming late to workouts or meetings and things. So we're just focusing on the now, as Bubba say.
I wanted to ask you real quickly, Bubba. Manny Diaz becoming your defensive coach.
Mm-hmm.
The mindset for the players, it seemed like when the decision was made and Manny goes, I'm going back to the defense, besides being the head coach.
I mean,
a lot of guys were fired up.
That was a big deal. And, I mean, you know, last year – He was over there with the defense, but I feel like him, you know, you've seen what he's done in the past as a defense coordinator, and you know him bringing that back, I feel like gives a lot of people confidence, and just security that, you know, our head coach is also our defense coordinator, and you know he makes the right calls, and we all trust him. So I feel like it's the best for everybody.
Well, listen, before I let you guys go, and I didn't even get in the NIL stuff because I wanted to get in the football stuff, but. What happens when Gorman and St. Thomas play each other on one of those national TV games that seems to always pop up. What happens?
I think what happened last time.
I don't know, but I know there's a lot of talent on the field. Boy. You guys. Hey, Bubba, Mike, thank you guys.
Appreciate you guys.
Spending some time. I don't know how we're going to do it, man, but we got to get you on the radio in the regular season too, man.
Yeah.
So
sometime,
so
whenever.
Love to have you. Good luck, you guys, to both of you, man, coming back and watching to see what this thing's going to look like in the ACC as well as Alabama and everything else. So good luck. Take that NIL thing. Anything you can make, you guys make while you're at it, too.
Yes, sir.
Might as well put a few bucks in your pocket, too.
Hey, that
quarterback here, he got this thing figured out. I'm calling him for a job here pretty soon, man.
You're talking to the king of sponsors right here.
Hey.
Help us out.
Yeah.
Help us out.
I'm going to be hanging out with you guys at one of these clubs that we go to. That you guys set up one of those things.
Yeah.
I'll run. I don't know. Does older women go to those things? Probably not, man.
We
wouldn't do very well with that. Hey, anyway, I don't want to get you guys in trouble. Hey, both of you, thank you very much. We got to take a quick break here. Derek King's going to join us. When we come back, we'll talk to the quarterback and the leader of this thing coming back. Going to be a lot of fun. Thanks, guys. We'll be right back. In my mind, all right, welcome back here as we continue on in Charlotte at the ACC kickoff here, which has just been a blast. Capital One Orange Bowl Media Tour presented by Duffy's Sports Grill. Chicken wings, all the games you want, great food, and we appreciate them being with us for this. Hey, this is special. Derek King, quarterback of the Miami Hurricanes, joins us now. Derek, thanks for being with us, man. It's great to have you and see you walking around feeling good.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
100% close?
Close to it, yes.
Good.
Close to it.
Good. Hey, there's so much to talk about, starting with your football team. And what was spring football like for you, watching, and what'd you get out of it, and watching these young guys develop the quarterback stuff, but still being able to be out there and watch your guys?
Yeah, I think it was good, believe it or not. Especially, like, for me, just sit back and watch practice, right? Watch practice, watch tape. I seen a lot of guys develop and have really good springs, and that was encouraging to see. Guys that we need to step up for us this year. So, for me, I just tried to, you know, I was rehabbing, obviously, rehabbing every single day, trying to get back. And just taking what I can from, you know, not practicing and sitting back and watching. So, I think that was good.
We were just talking with Bubba and Mike about this a little bit. As far as you guys, you made a decision quickly. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. We're going to do it again. It seemed like a lot of guys. Do you feel like a lot of guys, did you spread the word you were coming back? Because a lot of guys seemed to follow your decision, go, we got more work to do.
Yeah, I thought it was important for me to, you know, make a decision quickly, right? I mean, I thought it through, talked to my, you know, my family, talk to people that's close to me. But when I decided to come back, I wanted to put it out there, you know, just to let guys know that I'm coming back. You know, I didn't want to 100% encourage their, you know, decision to come back and go pro, because I want what's ever best for the guys. But I think me putting it out there, a lot of guys decided, you know, to come back, and because we have way more work to do. Last year was a good season, but it wasn't the standard. So that's what we tried to come back and get better.
Want to ask you about your receivers. Mike, of course, had a breakout year and had a lot of big catches. How do you feel about the group overall and with all these young guys? I think there's 13, 14 guys on scholarship.
Absolutely, yeah. I think we have a really good receiving corps this year. A lot of young guys that we had last year didn't play a lot. And like I said, those guys developed in spring ball, right? So we have Mike coming back. You know, Rambo coming in was a big addition. Xavier Shepro, D. Wiggs, Mark Pope. All those guys are back, right? And all those guys had a really good spring. And I think it's time for, you know, us to have a really good year with those guys.
You seem like this Lashley offense absolutely perfect for you. Yeah. And what impressed me, not the plays where guys just beat guys, the confusion of guys breaking wide open where it was a broken coverage because he saw something. How good a coach is Coach Lashley for your style of game?
He's a really good coach, one of the best coaches I've ever been around. I think he's a good coach because he's so good in-game, right? So he can make in-game adjustments. If he sees someone on the sideline or Coach Brewer or anybody in the box see anything, they make really good adjustments and they make it easier on us. Their goal every single game is to have at least two plays that's called and guys are wide open, right? So they watch tape all week. And I think he's a really, really good coach. I'm happy to play for him.
I think a couple of things went under the radar with their offense last year. One in 11 games, 12 games, turned it over only 9 times. Yep. The offense protected the ball pretty well. They only had 9 turnovers. The other thing is you finished the season, the last 7 games, I think it was 14 touchdown drives of 80 yards or more.
Wow.
That's hard to do. Is that an indication that the offense was coming together, and is that an indication of where you can go with this offense this year?
100%. You know, I think we pride ourselves in taking care of the ball, first of all. That's one of my biggest goals, is don't turn into football. I don't want to be that guy that ever, you know, coming to the sideline through two or three picks. But, yeah, like you said, we had 14 drives of 80 yards or more. And we'd have an offseason, we'd have any of that. And this year we should, you know, take off. Everybody's coming back. Everybody's on the same page. And being the second year in the system, it should be better.
Derek, is your game changed at all? A big part of it was running. Yep. Is your thought process come back? I'm not changing or more maybe looking down the field more, or just has your game changed a little bit this year coming back?
I think I'm definitely pass first. I want to be a pass first quarterback, and when play breaks down, take off and run. My game won't change just because my knee feels pretty good, so my game won't change. I'm still going to be the same guy. Obviously, I would like to get the ball downfield to my playmakers and right. this and that, but if I had to take off and, you know, some quarterback runs, I'll do it.
I always wonder, the young guys been throwing with you too? Have the new class of guys in there, so they got a pretty good idea?
Yeah, absolutely. All those new receivers, new tight ends, you know, new quarterbacks, we all throw together every single day. So
let's talk about another guy. I love him, Will Mallory, on how he had a play called back. It was like, it looked like a friggin' NFL play. The long run that he had called back for a penalty, whatever it was.
I think the game was Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville was ridiculous. How good can he be?
I think Will Mallory is probably the best tight end in the country. And I see this guy every single day, right, for 2 years now. I'm going on 2 years, and he works extremely hard. And I think that's his biggest thing. And he's a really hard worker. He doesn't take days off. He could be hurting, and he'll play through it. He's a really tough guy. And I think this year the nation will know that he's one of the best tight ends we have.
You know, everybody's already talking about this Alabama game and all their 5-star, and they just got more and loading up and stuff. And I just look at the experience of this UM team, starting with you, but even Bubba and Mike, these guys been in big programs. They've been playing in big programs since they're 13, 14 years old.
Yeah.
There should be no intimidation to go in, and these guys feel like you got a chance to beat them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like you said, a lot of us are experienced. We play a lot of football in our days, a lot of football. So we're going to take it game by game. We're not intimidated by anything. We're going to go out there and, you know, put our best foot forward and see what happens.
These young quarterbacks in spring, it was fun to watch. I went to the spring football game, and it was what were your thoughts on the two guys going back and forth and their development? And you're sitting back there kind of watching. What was that like?
Two really, really good quarterbacks. I think Miami is set for the future at quarterback. You know, Tyler Van Dyke and Jake Garcia, Peyton Toke, all those guys are really good. And it was exciting to watch those guys in the spring, you know, make plays, get better day by day, especially being a young guy, right? So you try to get better every single practice, and I think those guys did that really well.
All right, let's get in the other thing, man. Nobody kicked off the NIL like you did from day one, including your partnership with Florida State quarterback Mackenzie Milton. Talk about. So how much were you prepared that this day was coming and you were making sure that you were already at full speed at the blocks?
Yeah, I think I was pretty prepared. You know, just thinking about it all year. Like me and Mackenzie co-founded a company called Dreamfield, which allows athletes like ourselves to get on platform and get in front of businesses to capitalize on name, image, likeness. So I think we were prepared. I had a really good team behind me, so it's not just me doing all this stuff, but I wanted to be prepared. I wanted to, you know, have opportunities for my teammates and have opportunities for everybody else to make money off their name as well. So that's what I tried to do.
Yeah. So how far in advance? You knew July 1st was the date, and so you had some time and said, if we're going to do this, I'm going to get what I can. I've had people come up to me and go, is this going to interfere with their college and getting ready for the games? What do you say to those people with –
Yeah, I don't think that would happen at all, right? I think if a guy's distracted, he's distracted with NIL or without NIL, right? So guys like myself and my teammates, we know football is the main objective. We're here to play football. We're here to win games. Here to work hard. And I don't deal with any day-to-day things, right? So my focus is on getting my knee back right and playing football. So I say the people to say that, I think whether there's NIL or not, the guy that's distracted will be distracted regardless.
You know what I find interesting about Derek, just watching him, and I said this to somebody else about an hour ago, he absorbs information. He's a great listener. Yeah. You just see when you're asking the questions, have you always just been able to comprehend a lot of information? And then how does that help you in terms of getting a game plan together or when you receive the game plan?
I think it helps me a lot. You know, I grew up with coaches' kids, so my dad was a coach my whole life, and he's always told me, you know, you shouldn't make the same mistake twice, right? If I coach you on this, you shouldn't go out there and do the same exact thing. So I pride myself in, you know, we could be watching film, of course, Lashley, and he told me I did something wrong. You know, the next time I go and run the same exact play, I try to do it right. And I think that prepares me for the game, you know, just like I said, because Lashley's really good at making in-game adjustments. So whatever he tells me, I try to, you know, acclimate it to my game.
He calls a good game, doesn't he? I mean, even in the Oklahoma State game, yep, there are a couple of plays that should have popped for touchdowns, but he calls a good game, doesn't he?
He calls a really good game. He's really smart, well-prepared, so.
You seem like you almost know what's coming from him.
Yeah.
And some of the games where you guys kind of put him away late, like guy going to be open down the middle. And do you feel that way the more you're around him? Like, yeah, I know what's coming.
100%. You know, I think quarterback and offensive coordinator has to have like a pretty good relationship. So I think in different, you know, different, like it'd be third and short, I think I know what he's thinking, which helps me. And like I said, I come to the sideline, we have a really good conversation. It's no, you know, no yelling, none of that. We just have a really good conversation. And he tells me when he's seen, I tell him what I see, and we kind of go back and forth like that.
Derek, what do you think you have to do between now, we're in the middle of July,
yep,
and 2 weeks before Alabama to say I'm ready to go? What has to happen between now and then?
I'm ready to go right now.
Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, I got to keep rehabbing, take it day by day. I can't try to rush the process, and I got to listen to my body. So if I feel off one day, I have to, you know, be honest and tell my physical therapist, tell my coaches that I feel off. It's no point in me going out there and, you know, hurting myself before the season. So I just got to be honest with my coach. And it's really hard for me. I never want to miss a day, miss a rep. I want to do all the workouts and all that. So that's my biggest deal right now.
Let's talk about the guys that never get talked about that quarterback loves, your offensive line. How do you feel about that group of guys? Boy, a lot of experience there.
Yeah, I feel really good about those guys. You know, spring ball was big for us. And I think we have 10 or 11 guys that all can start. We have a bunch
that
of,
many?
Yes, we have a bunch of experience. I think we're 1-2 deep, which is, it's pretty good. You know, you never know how offensive linemen work. There might be a game where a guy might be banged up and a guy has to step in. So I think we have a lot of depth and a lot of leadership in the position. I think offensive line is probably one of the deepest units on our team right now.
It's gonna be a really interesting one. So you guys throw in every day now? Are you guys you call them up, they show up, and you throw? Hey guys, yeah, come on, let's do it.
Yeah. So after we all offense all work out together. So after workouts, you know, we might go out there and throw. And one day I might say, okay, we're gonna run nothing but slants and fades.
Wow.
And we work on slants and fades for an hour. You know, next day we might do a whole route tree. The next day we might do 7-on-7. But we try to get something done every single day. Especially this close to camp, you know, we want to be on our best when camp starts. We don't want to, you know, wait till we get in camp to start feeling good. Day one, we want to be, you know, at our best.
Without throwing anybody under the bus, besides your veteran receivers you had last year, yep, give me a young guy for Canes fans to maybe watch that you think he's about ready to explode and get in the rotation.
Yeah, I'll give you two guys.
Okay.
Keyshawn Smith and Xavier Reshepro. Those guys have had a really good spring, and I'm looking forward to it.
They did?
Yeah.
They look good, sure, in the spring. I mean, yeah.
Who was that walk-on that kept making all those plays? Dante Johnson? Where
Dante
the hell
Johnson,
did he come,
yeah,
from?
DJ is a really good player. We call him Bean. But, yeah, Dante Johnson had a really good spring as well, for sure.
What's it like being up here, man, and you being talked about with one of the top quarterbacks? It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, I think it's a testament to my teammates. I'm nothing without those guys. You know, Mike catching the ball, making me look good, and offensive line blocking their tail off. So it's a pretty good feeling. I'm just excited to be up here representing my team.
Have you picked at Alabama? I have their depth chart right here.
Of course.
Have you picked that up?
Of course. I went back and, you know, I watched a lot of teams that we're going to play this year. Looked at Alabama more than the other teams because it's our first game. You don't want to jump into it too quick, right? You want to get overwhelmed with it. You want to watch a couple games and, you know, see what they do. So that's what I've been doing.
You ever look back at your decision to come to Miami and leave Texas? What were your thoughts?
Man, it was a crazy decision, right? When I decided to enter the portal, I kind of came to Miami within 3 days.
Right.
Good. I'm super excited, you know, that it happened. I think everything happens for a reason, and I think God led me the right way, and I'm excited to be here, excited to be a King.
Derek, thank you, man. It's been great. I may have to bug you during the regular season. I know you're busy, but I really appreciate you coming on, man.
Yes, sir.
You and your teammates have been great. Really appreciate it. Good luck, and stay healthy,
yes,
man.
Thank you so much.
Very much.
Thank you.
That is De'Arri King, quarterback of the Miami Hurricane. Wow, this has been an unbelievable hour with these guys. They're great. They're great to deal with, and they got a long day hitting every market as well. So we've got all that stuff coming up here, and we're just going to say goodbye to everybody. Want to thank everybody here, by the way, at the Orange Bowl for having us. Capital One Orange Bowl Media Tour presented by Duffy Sports Grill. And hope everybody enjoyed it as we're up here in Carolina, you know. Mine gone to Carolina. I'm sorry, man. It's just my time. Minus, you know, as many drugs, but yeah, it was just a good time. Hey, everybody, have a great day. We're going to do it again tomorrow morning up here in Charlotte. Have a great one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.